It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
And now, two guys who know that Delta 8 is not a flight number. Chris and the Riz.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 366. This is the official Detroit Lions podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing and stuttering host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and effervescent, I like that word these days, best buddy co-host, Jeff the Riz Risen.
It is good to be with you, Chris. We got fun things to talk about for a winless team. There's so much more positivity around this team than there is some other teams in the league that we won't mention at this point, that it makes me grateful that we are where we are.
It is, you know, that's really funny that you put it that way, but absolutely. I don't mind having no victories compared to some of the huge losses the teams have had. We're not going to go into too much of that. That's just what it is.
But other teams are taking L's off the field that the Lions are not, and that should make us all very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk a good deal about the Vikings game because there's a lot to cover there, and not just, you know, a retrospective, but prospectively as well. We'll talk about injuries, and I'm going to remind you, you forgot about the countdown, didn't you? You people, all of you, we talked about it. You were so mad, now you forgot about it. I'm going to remind you because it's our first home game. We're going to talk about St. Jude. We got that going off. We got the offense. Why the heck is the offense sputtering? Riz has got a good coverage piece on that. We got that, a whole lot more, and a yummy lime that Riz is going to eat. Great show lined up. Riz, you ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, Riz, I got to get right into it. What's the deal with the lime here? What's going on? You don't have to do your thing now. I just want to know some detail. Maybe we could build it up a little.
All right. So one savvy person, Chad, in the podcast Slack channel, check that out on your Patreon. You get in it for just $1 a month, and it's worth it because you will catch me making draft bets that make me eat limes. Many, many months ago, well before the draft, I said that if the Bengals did not take Penei Sewell at the number 5 overall pick, I would eat a lime while we're doing the podcast. Guess what? They took Jamar Chase. We got Penei Sewell, and because of that, I'm going to eat this lime here that I got today at Meijer. And I'm attempting to peel it, and I don't have a fingernail, and that's kind of a problem.
No. Might need my... Well, you could spend time during the show peeling.
Can you bring
it.
Me a knife to peel this with? Thank you. My daughter's going to assist here.
Oh, thank you. She's the best.
Because I have no fingernails. My volleyball fingers are not good.
Yeah.
So I'll just eat this as we go along. Thank you. All right. You want to say hi?
Thanks, Lainey.
Hi.
All right.
There you go.
All right. He's going to work on the knife. We're going to talk about the Vikings.
Yeah. Please do.
I just had to really quick say, I'm sorry about the game day drinks, guys. I have literally just not had time. I plan to actually shoot 2 or 3 of the drink creation spectaculars this last weekend, and my air conditioning drain tube on the upper floor backed up, and I actually had water leaking into the ceiling of the laundry room. It was bad. It was bad. So my whole Saturday was spent fixing that and weren't wondering if I'm going to have to do a homeowner's claim.
We have too many floods, man.
Yeah,
My basement is finally complete. I'm very happy about that. But it took a long time and a lot of money. But I'm grateful. And thanks to everybody who helped out with that. Yeah, that, you know, those kind words and everything was important because it was a rough time.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're going through, and it is not fun to have water in your house where it ain't supposed to be.
Yeah. So I'll just give a heads up really quick. I was going to do a drink this last week called the Queen's Park Swizzle because they're sometimes called the Vi Queens. We were playing at U.S. Bank Stadium, and we had Swaggy and Swifty, a little bit of swizzle going on. U.S. Bank. Let me just really quick. I have a shot of one right here that I did so you can see. It's a sweet drink. It looks so awesome, and it is absolutely delectable. I made one for the practice thing.
Ooh,
head out of here.
Nice.
There you go. Come on.
Very nice.
Come on.
I can. Yeah, there it's in focus.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's like a. And I hate to sound like this way, but it's like a high class mojito. It's really, really, ooh, really good. So I'll get to that. I'm heading to Vegas next week. It's going to be kind of tough. Maybe I'll interview a bartender and have him make me one. We'll see how it goes.
Are you ready for the Raiders job by chance?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
nor can Adam Schefter, apparently.
I'm going to review the game against the Vikings right now. First off,
it's really freaking hard to peel a line. Let me just say that.
Yeah, usually you just slice them.
I might wind up doing that. All right. I'm trying very hard not to cut myself because I have a bad habit of cutting myself.
The Viking, or last week we said that the Lions needed a bounce back against the Vikings. That Chicago game was just devastating. Was absolutely devastating, and it was
as bad as they could play.
Yeah, it was a massive step backward, and we needed the team to bounce back. And we even said it didn't have to be a win. I would say that this team absolutely bounced back this last week. Just a play away from a win. We've had that a couple times. This team, when I talked to Herman this week, he mentioned it. We've been really, really close to winning against a number of very, very good teams along the way.
Right there. It was right there for the taking. Last play of the game for the second time in 3 weeks.
Yeah, same score.
Same score, same situation.
We'll talk about that a little bit, but what got us there? Herman was great in his analysis. If you guys haven't seen LionsNationUnite.com, go there, check it out. There's an app. Herman Moore started it. It's a fan-based place. We're one of the verified contributors. It's a great, great place with some really, really cool content, and Herman does more after the game, his video, weekly, and this week I was on more after the game with him, and he did a telestrator job on that last play, that 19-yard play that set up that field goal. And it really, you know, and I was in the mindset, I hadn't had a rewatch yet. As I said, time is really at a premium. But he brought it up and he laid it out. And we kept saying and hearing prevent. You can't play prevent. And I'm like, prevent works a lot of times in that situation. Why is it that it continually isn't working for us? What's going on? He did it. And TJ Lang later on Twitter, if you watch it, look at his Twitter, he did a breakdown of it as well. They don't say the name. They're kinder, gentler people. Dean Marlowe played the high center of the field and covered the spot exactly where the ball was caught. Well, actually, he didn't cover the spot where the ball. He bit on the shorter route. He bit on it hard.
He sucked up about 12 yards further ahead than he needed to be.
Yep. And instead of actually playing the prevent and preventing them from getting that yardage, he left that open for the catch. Had he played his position, and I'm not saying he's a bad player, I'm not dogging on him, right? But had he played his position, they don't get that yardage, and we have a different kind of look at what that end of that game is like.
Yeah,
really interesting. That is
the edge of Greg Joseph's range.
Yeah,
and if they don't get that to within 56, because he had made a 55 yarder earlier in the game. Before that, his previous career high was 52. So, and he missed from 49. He was short at that goal.
Yeah.
So I don't think they try it if they don't get that exact amount of yardage. So that's frustrating.
Yeah. So it's not the prevent defense. It's the guys who are playing the positions. It's communication. It's a lot of young guys working together, trying to figure out how to do this. We saw the same thing in the Baltimore game. We had a guy, I can't remember who it was, a young guy, blow his job. He was playing man instead of zone.
That was Bobby Price.
Thank you, Bobby Price. Making a young guy a mistake. It's just that one thing, one play, one guy that's kind of in the way of success in these roles. The team is close, and I just want to tell you the team is close with a roster that bottom two.
It is insane how little talent there is relative to the teams that they're playing. You look at Minnesota. Their number four wide receiver is our number one. You know, we do have good running back depth, but they lose Dalvin Cook. They bring in Alexander Mattison, and look what he did. You know, their depth on defense was much better than what we're showing. And we're playing young guys on defense purposely, and we're going to take some lumps with that. But I also thought that some of the guys played well.
Yeah,
and we'll
yeah.
talk about one of them in particular who I thought had a very good game. But you don't have Romeo Okwara. He's your top pass rusher. You know, you don't have your left tackle. You don't have your center who's going to be out now for the rest of the year.
Number one corner.
Number one corner and the number one corner's replacement. It's rough, man. The Lions are they're not the only team that has injury problems. Don't misconstrue that. But when you're limited in talent, you can't afford to lose talented players, and that's where the injuries have really hit this team. So the fact that they're staying close, to me, that says a lot about how well Dan Campbell can manage the talent that he has.
That's exactly.
And also how hard he gets these teams to play, the players to play for him.
Yeah, I kind of said in the post-game show, these guys are playing above their pay grade. And I'm not talking about contract money and where they are. They're playing above the level that their talent is rated at in the NFL. Dan Campbell,
that was a big piece.
Antoine Randall-El, Deuce Staley, Anthony Glenn. I mean, these guys are all getting more out of the team and the players than anybody would have expected. And so this bodes well for this team over the long haul. A couple things out of the chat really quick. Aren't mojitos already kind of high-end or high-class? Well, but you haven't had the Queen's Park Swizzle yet. And invented in Trinidad. It's actually you've had mojitos. That one is, like, elevated. I just don't know how else to explain it. It's really something. You know, you'd almost drink it with your pinky up if you didn't have a straw. You could still probably do that. Also, why is Jeff eating the lime? Well, Jeff made a bet in the Slack that if the Bengals didn't take Penei Sewell in the first round at number five, that they would what would happen?
I would eat a lime while we're doing the podcast.
There you go. And so here you see.
And I'm a man of my word. I made that bet in May or March, like it was 7 weeks before the draft, and I had just done a Bengals related podcast that day. In fact. And the host was so sure they were taking Penei Sewell. He's like, look, they're going to talk up Ja'Marr Chase. And that's a smokescreen. They really want Sewell. They want to move him. They know they have their left tackle in Jonah Williams. They want their right tackle in Penei Sewell. They think he's perfect for it. That's going to be the pick. So thanks to you, dude. Thanks. You know who you are.
Oh, man. Skeletosi drinks water with his pinky out, as you know, as any says wise person.
It's really hard to swallow. But a lime, it like doesn't chew up, like where the rind attaches in the middle.
Yeah, good for the soul. All right, so Herman, TJ both broke down the film the same way on that. That one stuck. Risden will be scurvy free for the next sailing of the board this yacht, so we're good. Let's talk about a bright spot in the secondary and amongst the young talent we have. You guys, and if you haven't seen them, I urge you go back and see our Jerry Jacobs interviews.
Yes.
Go see those. Jerry Jacobs has been, Adam Thielen, two receptions. One was on the prevent play where we know that we had a safety that was out of position that helped help that one not work out to plan. Effectively, Jerry Jacobs held Adam Thielen to one reception all day. If you don't think that you're talking about a lockdown corner doing that to Adam Thielen as a rookie, as an undrafted free agent rookie, that is absolutely insane to me. Love Jerry. We love Jerry, right? I mean, he's given us so much. Again, watch those interviews. He gives so much of himself and is so open about what's going on. His story is incredible. But wow, has this guy blossomed.
it was, excuse me, I put a little salt in there to make it a little bit more real life simulation for me.
You should put some rum
because that's normally
it.
What I have with the lime. I have salt and then tequila. I don't have tequila. I have water tonight, but
a little spiced rum would really make that good.
Yeah, it would. One of the things that stood out to me as we're talking about Jerry, the fact that they chose to pick on Amani Oruwariye rather than Jerry, it was a very conscious decision by Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer and their offense. That's fascinating to me because we expect Amani Oruwariye to be the number one cornerback on this team with all the injuries that they have. And this is the second team that has chosen to pick on him rather than either Jerry last week or the week before that it was Bobby. Now, they did pick on Bobby Price as well, but they're focusing the energy away from the young guys on the more proven guy that apparently they know that they can beat. And by the way, it's working by and large for them. Amani has not played well. This is not a guy that I'm interested in keeping beyond this year. He's just not, it's not there, man. You may be forced to, though,
Riz, based on the loss of Jeff Okuda. You may be forced because...
Maybe.
I mean, think about how deep in the depth chart you got to get to Jerry.
Yeah. I mean, and they signed a guy yesterday, Tuesday, off the Steelers practice squad, and his name is escaping me. I know that he played at Duke. I can see him. He wore number 17. He's Darrell Revis's first cousin. Good ball hawk. This is a guy, though, that missed 2 years of college football with a broken hip that required some massive surgery. He's played 4 college football games and 4 preseason games since 2017. So you're not looking at a guy that is like, this is a hopeful long shot. Now, he was great in his first year and a half in college at Duke, but I mean, that's, so you're drawing at straws here, man. They had Shakur Brown in from Michigan State. That was a guy that I didn't have a draftable grade on. He's a Detroit guy. He might sign soon, maybe, possibly. Say no more. But they're hurting at cornerback, man. Yeah. But so Jerry stepping up and playing well, though, like, and he's legitimately playing well. It's not just us, you know, blowing smoke. Like, I haven't looked at his PFF grade. I didn't do the PFF grades for Lions Wire this week.
I don't remember exactly, but it was good.
Good.
He did well on PFF. Ratings.
He should, because one of the things that I like to see is, does he stay in phase on the receiver at different levels? And from what I saw, I did do a film review. I didn't get a chance to write it up, unfortunately. This has been a busy week for me, too. But I liked what I saw. There was one play where he spun to the inside and Thielen went to the outside. Cousins didn't look there, but he did get beat on that. But again, if it's not exploited, then you're okay. I thought he played pretty darn well. He looks like a guy who has a future playing for a while in the NFL as an outside corner.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy because, as you said, when we got a chance to interview him, the positive energy and the enthusiasm and the gratitude for being given the chance, you can't help but root for the guy. And so far, he's outplaying a guy who was drafted in the 5th round a couple years ago and who started a lot of games in the NFL.
That's right. And I'll tell you what else I'm seeing with Jerry. And this puts all the love and the personal comment, all that stuff aside, right? This goes exactly to what I talked about last week. Someone, I forget who, and I apologize. I would call you out, but not in a bad way. Said, hey, great spin on that loss, Chris. But no. This is exactly the thing that I talk about with this team and the opportunity for the comparative advantage that we have this year. This is a chance to see these young guys play in a way that we otherwise wouldn't. Jerry wound up, he was at the back of the depth chart. He never would have seen the field likely without all these injuries. And I'm not saying these injuries are great, but suddenly we found a guy that we can probably sign for a pretty inexpensive price for a pretty good long time who looks like he could be a number two, maybe even grow into a number one corner here. This is a guy with a ton of talent that we never, ever would have seen, who maybe never, ever would have had a chance in the NFL. And these kind of diamonds that we're going to find by unfortunately having to cycle through the roster and go through these young guys like this is huge for this team. It's huge for the longevity of how we find these positions. It's huge for our salary cap. It's an advantage that other teams don't have. Again, everybody can draft, and that's based on how well you draft. There's some of the same kind of lottery pick stuff to it, as well as the science to it. Everybody has free agency. how much free, you know, cap do you have? Well, we're working that this year. We may win that cap game a bit this year going out. But then it's the development of players, and we've got an opportunity to develop guys to find those diamonds that never, ever would have popped into our face. So I'm really, you know, and of course it's Jerry. And I remember when we were first talking about it, we're like, hey, we've got Jerry. And I'm like, look, this is a good story. This is a guy who got a great personal story. And yep. I talked to him and I said, he's willing to kind of do like a Hard Knocks with us throughout the season. And no matter if he winds up in the practice squad, if he winds up on the team, if he winds up somewhere else, we can kind of follow him and tell this story that gets untold in the NFL. Here we are, week 5. Of the season,
he's starting
right. We and you when we were talking about it, you're like, yeah, man, he's jacked at training camp. You're like, this guy is jacked. He looks good. He's quick. He's got good hips. You were laying out the guy is he's got some talent. And it's like, okay, let's do it. Let's sign on with him. Let's do this thing. And worst case, we've got a really interesting story that never gets told in the NFL. Or
right.
We've got what we wound up with today. It's like, holy cow, this is awesome for him to celebrate together. When he made the 53, I won't forget. I choked up a little. I was so excited for him, man. He's such a great guy.
I was even happier the next day because he struck me as a guy who would make the initial 53 and then they'd make a waiver claim or two and he'd get pushed off.
Right, right.
And that is a devastating blow for guys. I know personally one person who had that happen to him. He wound up never playing in the NFL. He wound up being on the practice squad for a couple of years and he retired because he got tired of it, wanted to move on with his life. That was a devastating experience to him. That was like having a friend die, is how he described it. Because it's like everybody is calling and congratulating him for making it because he wasn't expected to make it either.
Right.
And then 24 hours later, well, sorry, dude, you're cut. We like this guy at his exact position better. That's rough, man. So I did not want to have that happen for Jerry. So when he made it through that, then I was really happy for him because it was tough to get to that point. But he's proving he belongs. Look, one of the things with Jerry, he's bounced around a lot. And he explained why. But the fact that this staff believes in him, You could tell from the first time we talked to him, like he understands and you can see it in practices too. The faith that the players have in this coaching staff and the former players on it is something that you don't see in other places. And again, I've been to a lot of different teams' training camps and it's different when you have those players. It was very different from the Matt Patricia time. Very different from the Freddie Kitchens time in Cleveland. Very different from the Hugh Jackson time. And they did have a lot of former players on that. Very different from the experiences under Lovie Smith in Chicago when I used to go to their camps. And who was the coach in Indianapolis? Pagano, when I went down there. There's just a different vibe to it. And the players, you can tell the players feed off that. And I like that. And that's one of the reasons why I'm still very optimistic about the Dan Campbell experience, even though it's off to an 0-5 start, because you see how the players buy in. And that doesn't happen everywhere. That doesn't happen on teams that have better records than the Lions right now. There are teams that are out there that are floundering with their coaches. A couple of them happen to be of the Matt Patricia ilk, where they're, you know, descended from the Bill Belichick tree, and you get hit with a lot of branches falling off that one.
Well, and the thing about guys like that are, no matter what tree they fell out of and how many times they hit the ugly branches, the thing about that is that those guys are the smartest guys in the room. And when you're the smartest guy in the room, you don't adjust. You keep doubling down on bad or what's not working, and it gets worse. That's how this roster got here from when we left Jim Caldwell. I will still say today, and I will still say today that moving on from Jim Caldwell was the right thing to do. And retrospectively, just because of his health issue retirement, right? I mean, you have to proactively have somebody there to do that. We'd have been in a crap position if he'd have stuck around. That aside, we saw the best we were going to get out of him. We were the best team we were going to be. We had a lot of talent. It was time to move on. What was the right decision? Consensus across the NFL was the Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia experience. Consensus. Matt Patricia, There was other, you know, there was a split. There was a lot of people that wanted
Mike Vrabel,
thank you. And he got signed off elsewhere faster. Was it because we didn't even pursue? Was it, who knows why? But Mike Vrabel wound up somewhere else. But otherwise, Matt Patricia was the consensus guy. It didn't work. You hire bad people sometimes. I've seen it. I've done it. I've had to fire people because I hired the wrong person for the job. And it was, I would not say it was like, both of us as to why it was the wrong person. But everything on day one is love, hugs, and kisses. Everybody loves it, right? But sometimes it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And that's what we had. Unfortunately, this not only didn't work, this was almost an act of sabotage as a result. And now this is what we're trying to, we're back at, you know, effectively, this is not the 0-16 year of 1998. We're beyond that. Last year was the 0-16 year. This roster isn't that good, but we have a coaching staff, much like we had with Schwartz, who can pull a team together, who will get victories out of that team. I still believe 100% we're going to see 2, 3, maybe 4 victories still this year out of this team. And
I don't know about that, Chris.
Okay, well, we'll talk. We will see this team. This is not going to be an 0-4 season. We've been way too close.
Against way too many
good teams. And the fact that we were that close against the Vikings, you know who actually the real losers were? If you take away the column that matters, the real losers were the Vikings. Their fans, the people around them, the analysts are like, what in the hell? How did you do so bad against the Detroit Lions? How did they, you know, they don't necessarily
How did you need a game-winning field goal against that?
Exactly. And there's two reasons. It's one, the coaching of the staff. It's three reasons. Two, the finding of these diamonds like Jerry. And three, you know, it's the Vikings. They're not that great. We will find more teams like that. We will beat more teams like that. I feel like, I really honestly believe with the roster we fielded last week, we would beat the Vikings and the Bears at home. I really believe that that's the case.
I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, so there's two of our four, right? You will surprise
There's a couple of decisions that need to be made on Campbell, and we're going to talk about the offense here in a bit. But, yeah, the potential is there. This is not a winless team. I would be flabbergasted if they go winless. I might not go more than 2-15. I think that's probably where I'm at right now, but just based on the talent – now, maybe that'll change when we will get Taylor Decker back soon. We will maybe get Tyrell Williams back, probably, hopefully, but I don't know, man. That missing 6 weeks after a concussion, dude, that's not good. At this point, you need to stop worrying about Tyrell Williams, the wide receiver, and start worrying about Tyrell Williams, the human being who has to function in life after his football career is over.
Yeah, if you want to get scared about head injuries or dementia, go watch that episode of Black Mirror where the kid there's an episode, I forget what it's called, the kid, he winds up signing up to be in a video game beta, and I'll leave it at that. Black Mirror is a great show, but that is just a terrifying episode for me. Boy, nothing worse than losing, you know, your faculties, your mental faculties.
It's terrible.
He's a guy, I as much as I wanted to see him and want to see him help this team, my vote is let the guy take an injury settlement and kind of walk away from the game
that,
and stay.
And that might be the best thing for him.
Yeah.
And that way, unfortunately, Quintez Cephas going down really hurts because he was playing well. You could see the developmental arc ascending nicely for him.
Yep.
And unfortunately, that has been taken away for 6 to 8 weeks. I have broken my collarbone in the past. Without surgery, I was at almost as good as new in 6 weeks, but I was not playing a contact sport. However, I was playing a sport at the time, volleyball, that requires you a lot of this and flexing your shoulder and going through and hitting the ball and thrusting forward. And it took me about 8 weeks total before I had like the snap back in my shoulder.
Yeah.
So he could come back this year. 8 weeks from now is week 13. Yeah. There's a bye in there, so they would have 5 or 6 games left. I hope he does come back. Now, if you need surgery, ironically, when you have surgery on your collarbone, it takes longer to rehab because they have to tear the muscle to do the thing, and it takes longer for the muscle to get back that way.
Yep.
So if he has surgery for it, that's something to pay attention to. That would end his season if he has surgery. If he doesn't need it, then that's all the better.
Yep. Really quick, want to say, where was it? I don't miss fielding 9 players on the field multiple times under Caldwell and other basic game management goffs.
You know, I think people do forget about that at the end. Like, people romanticize Jim Caldwell a little bit. I'm like, Remember, remember on this show, I defended him one time and people like came at me with, beyond pitchforks, man. Like, how could he defend? He can't keep 11 guys. They had that and the prevent defense where Ziggy Ansah played nowhere on the Hail Mary. That was, those were damning for Jim Caldwell.
Let's see a really quick, we'll get into the Dan Campbell reaction. I want to get into that, but I want to talk first about the St. Jude piece. Flounderish has hit us with a super chat. Thank you, Flounder. Remember, he's going to do a pie in his face for every $1,000 we raise for St. Jude. We're close to his second pie. We're 1869.69. 1869.69. Head on over to stjude.org/DLP. Do your fully tax-deductible donation and help us. Help sick kids. We're trying to raise money. It's called Christmas for the Kids. It's a three-tiered event. Tier one is the pie in the face, pies for kids. Go out, do a donation, film yourself doing taking a pie in the face. Put that pie in the face video on social media. Make sure you add us and get us in there as well to see it. We'll play it on the show. We'll show everybody. And also, make sure you challenge two others. We had somebody who his challenge didn't show up on the actual video because they stopped videoing him, but Dean Blandino was one of the folks, and Dean liked it. Looking at what's going on, I think we're going to see Dean Blandino taking a pie in the face for St. Jude for us. I want to really quick hit you with that video because this is a really, really good one. This is Greg, who went to the draft with you in Cleveland, Riz. All right.
My man, Greg.
Here's Greg taking his share of what he promised from the postgame show this week.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Greg. So from the postgame podcast on Sunday, you guys probably heard that I said for every $50 donated that I would allow my wife to hit me in the face with a pie. You guys were kind enough to donate almost $400. So that's one out of eight.
Look at this.
And here comes...
That's an overhand smack.
Out of eight. So I want to thank everybody for your donations. We had almost 200.
She's smacking him. Like, all for right, those of you dude. Not watching, Greg is not a small human being.
My child really yeah, I got to get out of this side.
Hi, Greg. You don't have to know him like that.
Well, yeah, it's okay. It's totally fine. It's a fundraiser. So
the neighbors are concerned. But as well being.
That'll come out real easily.
Here it is, watch this.
Right there!
Just like mold growing in there now.
We got two more.
We got two more to go. Oh, man. So we got one last one. So, again, thank you, everybody, for donating to St. Jude. Thank you, Flounder, for the dollar-for-dollar match.
Save the best for last.
Like the mummy.
Oh, man.
Good job, Jen.
That's great.
Yay! At least the whipped cream is delicious. So thank you, everybody, again, for donating to St. Jude. We appreciate it.
There you go. There you go.
Love you, Greg.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. That was awesome. He donated. As a result, he took a pie for every $50 we raised in the post-game show and had a bunch of willing helpers, especially his wife, to help clear the pies across his face. So, yeah, get in there, stjude.org/DLP. Take a pie. Have some fun with it. Be creative. And post it on social media. We'll get up there. Make sure you challenge two more folks. Get that going. It's a lot of fun. That's kind of the first step of this whole St. Jude thing. The second one on November 5th during the Lions bye week when no one else has anything to talk about, we're going to do a 24-hour live stream. We've got guests like you wouldn't believe. Like
guests galore.
Like we've never had before, okay? We're already starting out. We've got some, well, I'll talk about that part next. But for sure, we're going to do Wayne Fonts, and we've got something special lined up there. I don't want to give that away yet, but that's something really cool. We're going to have Herman Moore. We're going to have likely Lomas Brown. We're going to likely have Jerry. We're working with the NFLPA. We're working with the Lions organization. We've got commitments from both for Moore. I don't want to put names out there yet.
The Lions have been very receptive to everything that we've presented to them, which is awesome.
Yep.
Good on Eamon for Eamon Reynolds, the Lions director of media relations, who's really good at his job. And he's being very helpful. So thank you to Eamon.
The thing, and this is one of the things I've said ever since we started this show, everybody that I've met doing this show, I mean, there's obviously trolls out there, but the people that I've met and talked to and worked with to do the show are some of the highest class people I've met, including in like Fortune 70 companies, right? Working in large companies. These are some of the very, very best people and one of the best groups of human beings that I've ever met in my life. And I want to just give straight credit. The Lions organization have, you know, there may not be a lot of W's up in that column right now for that team, but the people behind the scenes are some of the most wonderful human beings. And thanks to the Lions organization for helping along with that, because it's very, very meaningful, yeah. And it helps us do something. I told him the story. I was asked, what was your first Lions game? And I don't remember what game it was, but I was really into, you know, the Lions on TV, and Billy Sims and all that had started. But at 10 or 11 years old, my friend's dad was working for Lions Club International. And, you know, raising money for the blind. You would go there, you would work at the concession stand, the big boy stand, right, at the Silver Dome. And yep. Half the money went to the charity and half the money went to the stadium. So we went out there and you worked. And if you worked the stadium and helped clean up, work the concessions for 2 quarters and help clean up after, you could grab a seat up in the nosebleeds and watch the game for 2 quarters. So here I was as a kid, right, for my first time seeing the Lions. I worked every home game after that first one that I did. I was like, I got to do this. I love it. That's really where I got sealed as like a Lions fan going to games. And it's one of those things where it's, I don't know why, but the Lions and that kind of charitable thing has always been kind of linked for me. And to see the organization be so focused on is that is great. So make sure you join us November 5th at 9 a.m. We start through November 6th at 9 a.m., 24 hours. It's a telethon. We're raising money. We're trying to get to $25,000. We'll have great incentives along the way. Riz, you agreed to this before the show. I want you to be the one to be able to announce what happens when we get to $25,000, because if this is not an incentive, my God, you people are heartless.
I'll even show it off. I will wear this, my daughter's tutu, and show some hairy leg for a little while on the show. I may or may not have anything on under it. We'll see. Who knows? Family show. St. Jude's does like to keep it family, so I will probably wear a Speedo or something under it. But,
yes. Yeah, and risen a tutu.
Yeah, and it's black and frilly and shiny and fun. And probably a little tight because my daughter is a normal sized human, and I am not.
We'd like a pirouette. I mean, I'm not pushing it now. I know, but we really need a pirouette while we're in there. 25 grand raise gets Riz in a tutu, guys.
It'll be fun. We got a lot of the things. I mean, I just ate a lime. By the way, limes sour at first. The longer they stay in your mouth, they get really, really bitter,
acidic.
And I there's a lot of bitterness in my mouth right now, and I really wish I had more water or more salt or something.
It happens when you talk Lions too.
Funny so, how that works, yeah. Huh?
So stage three of the St. Jude thing is we're going to have an auction. The Lions organization's already come through. We got a Jamal Williams signed football. We got a Penny Sewell signed football. Some of our other friends, Greg, who you saw with the pie, he came through with a DeAndre Swift signed football, a TJ Hockenson signed ball, signed jerseys from Hockenson and Swift. We got Dom, Big Dom coming through with some stuff, some jerseys as well. We've got a resort vacation home in Colorado ski country during ski season that's going to be up for the auction. The charity auction will kick off on the 5th of November at our show, when we kick off our show, and it will run through December 15th. So all those great things are guaranteed to be in your hands. If you want to get a gift for a loved one, absolutely go in there, get something, set it up, and you can have something, a great Christmas gift, and help us raise money to help sick kids along the way. So three big separate kind of pieces of one giant event. We love all you guys for helping us out. So stjude.org/DLP for all the donations you can get off. Whew, spent a lot of time on that. Thank you for seeing us through.
It's important to us.
It is.
That's why we're doing it.
It's. I feel so lucky to have been able to, you know, to have built this platform with you and Case and Sandman and Ash along the way, and be able to do something back for the community, to be able to create a vehicle to help people. For me, that's like a life's, you know, mission realized. So that's really, really great.
Yeah.
All right.
We're gonna have some good around the league guests as well for that. Mm-hmm. I'm working on some people, and they graciously agreed to it to talk Lions, talk quarterbacks, talk all kinds of stuff. By the way, on that front, we will have a special guest next week to talk about Jared Goff and also the college quarterbacks. Yes. Mr. Mark Schofield, former college quarterback and Touchdown Wire's quarterback guru, among other things. He also happens to be a good friend of mine. He's going to come in next week on the show, and we're going to talk about Goff and how much blame, how much credit Goff deserves, how much the receivers impact him, what he's seeing from a quarterback's eye. And he will also talk about Malik Willis and Matt Corral and Carson Strong and some other college quarterbacks that we've talked about behind the scenes, and we will share some of that on air. So that's going to be good. That'll be something that you won't want to miss. That's next Wednesday.
Yep. Last thing I just want to talk about. There's a certain guy everybody knows about associated with St. Jude that does a 40 every year that we actually have hooks into his organization trying to work something out to have him join the 24-hour show as well. I invite all of you to go out and use social media to implore our 40-yard dashing tie-wearing friend to join the show for that, because the more he hears about it, the more likely it is to help make something like that happen. He's our favorite University of Michigan alum. And God, if we could get him to take a pie in the face too, would that be?
That'd be sweet.
He's such a great sport. All right, we'll move on.
You got my wheels turning. I need to run a 40. Yeah. You should run a 40. That'd be fun.
Maybe next year. Okay. All right, let's get going. We'll talk about it. Well, there's anything's possible, I guess. Dan Campbell. Lot of talk. You know, Dan Campbell's a guy that's generated conversation ever since he got here. First thing he did was talk about biting kneecaps. A lot of fun for Lions fans and people Detroit, and we could really have fun with it. The national media clutched their pearls and howled in terror. And then
he
showed up at a presser with a racing helmet on to kind of promote the Grand Prix being in Detroit. And the national media back at the pearls again, clutching, oh my God, this man is out of control. Oh my goodness. And on the whole thing. And then here we are this week, and you see a guy, and you see a sense truly of his passion and his feelings, you know, as a man. He wasn't simp crying, right? He was man crying, right? After the game. He was kind of showing
it
how much
hurt
he wanted
him that they lost that. It hurt, and the way he said it too, the way he phrased it, and you absolutely believe him on this. He felt bad for the players that they didn't get it done.
Yeah,
he wanted the players to get a win. He didn't care that he's 0-5. He cares that the players are 0-5, and that hurts them because he knows what it's like to be on a losing team. He also knows what it's like to be on a winning team. Yeah. That you cannot fake.
Yep.
I loved it. I wanted to cry along with him.
Is it weak?
As you know, I cry all the time. I cry in every movie I ever see. I wanted to cry
Rambo
along with him.
I didn't understand Rambo. That was the one I didn't understand you crying to, but whatever. Is he weak? Is he weak because of this?
Oh, God, no. This is one of those where, you know, he's a modern man. He's more than just the caricature that he's made out to be. He's more than the laughing stock that some people want him to be. And one of the funny things that I've seen is that on Sunday, the reaction to it was like, oh, my God, you know, how can this dude be crying? And then, like, after they took it in a little bit, and I'm talking more nationally than locally, because I think locally everybody pretty much got it. But nationally, it was like, you know what? You heard the reaction from former players and people around Detroit, and they caught on to the reaction like, damn, man, this is working. And now some of it is also what's going on with a couple of other coaches in the league. That certainly didn't hurt. Like the fact that, you know, this is a guy who's crying after a loss because he hurts so much for his players. And then you look to Jacksonville and their coach doesn't even care enough about his team to ride on the plane home with them, and instead goes out and checks oil on co-eds in a bar while his wife's there. I think the juxtaposition there makes Campbell look even better.
Yeah.
And that is helpful because, look, do you remember Dick Vermeil cried famously all the time?
Yep.
It worked for him because it was sincere. Mm-hmm. If Nick Saban starts crying, people in Alabama are going to be like, go away, dude. Go jump in the lake or go jump in the Gulf. No, you've got to have the I'm searching for a word here, and I'm not finding it. The credibility.
I'll tell you with what it is. I know the word. It's authenticity. Okay.
Yes, thank you. That's it. That's exactly the word I was looking
for.
What
he has and who he is. And I'm going to go back to when the rest of the Detroit media didn't know what they were. Oh, is Ron Wood making the football decisions? Who's in charge? Right. I'm never going to let him forget it, because it was absolute cluelessness about what was going on. And that really, really hits to credibility there. The folks that ask that question, I'm telling you, just it's a lack of it's and I don't blame ignorance. Right. But when you lash out of ignorance,
you
rather than learn
you
something,
can't be that ignorant.
Right. Right. This is here comes servant leadership. This is, you think about it when you're at work and you've given your all, right? You've given your all for weeks at a time, multiple projects, and it just comes up short, and your boss believes in you. The owner of the company believes in you. The company's undergoing massive stress, and you almost get there and you fail. And your boss has to go do a press conference. Why? I don't know. But your boss cries like Dan Campbell did and talks about he feels so badly for you, for the project, for the effort that you put in, that you weren't able to get it done. Think about what that would mean to you as an employee in your day job. I know it's an exaggeration. It's not going to happen in your office. I worked my way through college as a mechanic. So, you know, I know a very, you know, a very blue collar lifestyle as well. There's no way in hell that at least back then there'd be any respect for the service manager if he pulled that one. But you kind of can get the idea. You get behind somebody who's behind you, especially when they're your boss, when they trust you, when they help you grow, when they make you better, help you become better, when you help them become better, and you are truly a partnership. I'll tell you, my job right now, that's what I've got. I've got the best person I've ever worked for in my life. And I went from the absolute worst. I literally went from the absolute worst before I left that company. It means...
Oh, the conversations we had.
It means everything. And Dan Campbell's reaction in that press conference to those players, I guarantee that they sat there and said, damn. And I guarantee when this team finally gets a win, that Dan Campbell is going to get that damn game ball. I guarantee it.
Oh, 100%.
Yep.
I'll say this. It wouldn't surprise me if Sheila came down and gave it to him.
Yeah.
At the behest of the players, because I look, it's obviously not the way they feel about Dan Campbell. The players like Sheila a lot.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
That's a change. Like they did like Martha. They respected Martha, but she was more of like the fairy godmother, for lack of a better term. Like, yeah. like she was out there, and they liked, like, she legitimately did care, but I think she was a little separated from it. And that happens when you're in your 90s.
I can't believe how old Sheila is. I'm telling you, she looks great for her age, and I'm not going to get into the whole thing like with that anymore, but she does not look all of the years of age.
No, she does not.
She's a lot more relatable than her number says.
Yeah, yeah. I would guess her to be around my age, and she's
you're wrong.
Quite a bit older than me.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Playing tennis does that for you. She cares, and I think that the players understand that she cares too. And that's something. There's a lot of people that want to sell the damn team. I hear that. I get that. That's a conversation for another day, because that's not going to happen now anyways. But if you don't think that the Ford family, specifically Sheila, is trying to win, you're probably never going to be happy as a Detroit Lions fan. And you probably will want to find another team and just, or find a different rooting interest, because it's not for you. The bottom line.
Pick up tennis so you can stay looking young like Sheila did.
Maybe. Yeah. So the authenticity factor that you talked about, like, it worked for Dick Vermeil. Yep. It worked for Jim Mora going in the other direction. It works for Pete Carroll. Yeah. Pete Carroll, I can tell you Pete Carroll has cried after practices or when guys have gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. That's actually one of the he's talked about it one time with our friend Pat Kerwin. That's why he chews so much gum, because it keeps him from like having the emotions override him. He's focusing on like, I can chomp this gum and that'll, you know,
that's really interesting. I guarantee he didn't cry when he ran away from USC after setting them up for a couple years of penalties and fines and so on. But hey, you know, whatever. Did I say that out loud? That's the one thing about Pete Carroll that I absolutely cannot get over. I can't say it, because when things got bad, because he did things wrong, he left everyone else to pay the price.
He cheated and he got caught and he fell up, and that's bothersome for a lot of people, myself included. Yeah. But to his credit, he has proven that he belongs in the NFL and is a very successful head coach, although they are in last place and not getting out of it with Russell Wilson's hammer finger now. They're not going to win a game without Russell Wilson. No offense to Geno Smith, but you ain't Russell Wilson.
Geno looked good for a bit there. He had some really good stuff, but then he Geno Smithed, right? I mean,
he and Jared Goff have a lot of similarities as quarterbacks in that they're always going to take the easy route, and when they try to push themselves to take the harder route, which isn't often, it typically doesn't go very well.
Yeah. So on the Dan Campbell crying thing, it is what it is. I want to touch really quick, and I don't want to get into the thing you had about Goff yet, but I want to talk a little bit about him in regard to taking the easy way out. Herman, after he did such a great telestration, right, he was the first one to break down that it wasn't prevent, that it was actually Marlowe playing out of position, misplaying on the play and biting on the short route. He went on then to talk about Goff and the wide receivers. And one of the things that he says, what he's seeing is telling him. Again, he says he's not in the locker room, he's not there. But I as a former player, I inherently and completely trust Herman's judgment on this, especially seeing some of the other things he's kind of marked out and shown his football IQ is through the roof. This isn't all on Goff. Now, Goff isn't perfect. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Goff is not without fault. That's not what I'm saying. But there are degrees, right? There are degrees of fault. There are degrees. We're not seeing best Jared Goff by any stretch, and I'm not defending him either.
No, we're not.
He is tentative. Herman said you can tell he doesn't trust those receivers. He's staring the routes, not looking off them, because he doesn't believe that receiver is going to be where he's supposed to be. He doesn't believe that they're going to run the route appropriately, and he can't trust them. I don't think the lack of trust is a golf thing. I think the lack of trust is we don't have any damn number one, number two, number three quality NFL receivers on the team running routes. We've left a guy who does have his own areas to improve on, who does have his own shortcomings, but we've left him in a place that exacerbates those shortcomings. Goff is not as bad as the Goff we've seen. Goff has made it to a Super Bowl, but he was surrounded by great weapons. We have the opposite of that right now. And so I don't know. Again, I need more data. After the game, my initial reaction was, I now have enough data on Jared Goff, right? But he was maddening because of the inconsistency. That pass to Hockenson against, what was it, the Bears, or was it Baltimore? One of those two games where he just dropped it right in the corner. It was beautiful, right? He gets a couple of these beautiful passes every single game, and it's
he can do that.
He can do it. He's got it. He's, you know, it's there. What's happening? I think a big portion of what's going on is the weapons at his disposal. Again, he's not perfect. He's not perfect. Do I want him as our quarterback in 4 years? I don't know that I do. Do I want him this year? He's what we got. I don't want our next quarterback this year. As a matter of fact, the one thing I think that Goff does give us, it gives us time. He gives us time to forget about Matthew Stafford and stop comparing the quarterback to Matthew Stafford to give whoever is the next guy a better chance.
He's a bridge. I'm ready to jump off that bridge, but not until the end of the year. And you do make salient points here. He does not have a lot of weapons at his disposal. And it's one of the themes that comes up when I do radio spots, when I do podcasts, when I'm talking to people on Twitter or in our Slack chat. We have this discussion just about every day. How can you properly evaluate Jared Goff based on what he is? And I will say this, as I've said in the Slack and a few other times, his inability to elevate the play of those around him, to me, is damning. He does not make, nobody has ever been made better, except possibly Chad Hansen, at Cal by Jared Goff being their quarterback. And if you're an NFL, if you're going to be a team that's that has a premium quarterback, one of the things that a premium quarterback, their salary dictates that you have to be able to elevate the play of those around you who are lesser paid above their pay grade. Jared Goff doesn't do that. He didn't really do that in Los Angeles, and I don't think he's ever going to do that in Detroit. Yeah. So that's why I am of the position that, okay, he can play this year out. That's fine. The expectations where they are, the team where it is, he might not be the worst guy to do that. But next year, if he is the unquestioned starter going into next year, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to want more, and I will need good answers from Brad Holmes, because I'll say this, if he's the unquestioned starter next year, I don't think that comes from Dan Campbell. I think that comes from Brad Holmes, and Brad Holmes exclusively. Yep. And I already have some questions about Brad Holmes and some of the choices that he's made. Just as a brief tangent, and I'll leave it there. I'm much more concerned about the general manager of this team than I am the head coach of this team for the long term. But that's, you know, and that's subject to change, and that could change. He has the ability to change that because he's had 6 months on the job or 8 months on the job.
And you get Dorsey in there, and you get Spielman in there. You've got a couple of things going on. This is his first GM job. This is something he may grow into as well, and he's got some good people to lean on. So we'll see. We'll see.
I've seen him make a couple of rookie mistakes that I don't think he should have made, and I'm that's why I'm really watching this coming offseason. Much more Brad Holmes than I am anybody else on this team, including the positions that they take or do not take, because I think they will learn a lot about how viable Brad Holmes is as a long-term GM this coming offseason. And we don't know that now.
Right.
And his decision on Goff and the process that goes into making that decision will tell me a lot about how I will feel about Brad Holmes.
Okay, so I want to get a couple things here. Don in the chat, but Goff also seems to check out a quarter at a time. Sounds a lot like Stafford. When he played for the Lions, he checked out for quarters and halves of the
and
time.
Rams fans are learning this, and they are not happy about it, because I did a Rams-centric podcast on Monday, and they're like, tell me this isn't what I'm getting from Matthew Stafford. I'm like, been there, done that, boys.
Yes. So this shouldn't be new show for anybody. We've seen this movie before, right? And I love Stafford. You guys know it. I'm not ripping on Stafford. Nope. I'm just saying that's no different. I'll also say that Matthew Stafford couldn't lift last year's team, which had better talent on the roster than this year's team. I don't know that Matthew Stafford's going to do a whole lot more with this team this year. I mean, they'll be better, right? But these receivers, they're just going to be dropping his balls because he only has a fastball, right? He's not going to get the completions. His completions are probably going to be about the same as Goff's, but for different reasons, to be completely fair and honest. So I think that's kind of where we're at. The other thing, Steve Shattuck says a lot of QBs would get the "it's a new offense" as an install excuse, right? And that's true too. A lot, you start, first year new offense, da 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 da. That's a lot, but Jared Goff isn't getting this. I'm not standing up for Jared Goff. He's the quarterback
we've got. That's a fair point.
We've got a lot of capital with Jared Goff.
Matthew Stafford wanted
to go. We had very, very little choices. The draft class for quarterbacks this year, I don't know if our guy is there. It may be that we're in a situation, because it is a bad year to want a quarterback. They're kind of underwhelming. Is this year to get your guy? It may not be, because Jared Goff, by salary hit cap alone, is kind of your unquestioned starter as it is. Would it be great to have a young guy to bring up? Like, if we would draft Justin Fields in this draft and have him come up under Goff, because Goff's the guy. You got Justin for cheap. Okay, great. That's awesome. But you're still, did you get your wide receiver? Did you replace your broken corners? Did you replace a safety? Did you replace a defensive end? There's so many pieces that you
need. That's where the injuries to Okwara and Okuda really play in, because they have to be replaced now. You can bring them back, but you can't rely on them to be your number one players at their respective positions just based on the history of Achilles injuries and what happens with it.
This offseason, it's particularly because of those two injuries, I don't see yet how we get out from under Goff next season. And if the quarterback isn't a standout for sure kind of pick, right? If he's not the guy, I don't think you waste the capital on him. I think you just get a great defense, edge rusher. You safety, You know, I know you've said safety is a guy. It's just not someone you draft that high. If that's that, that's fine. Remember, you're the first pick of the potentially of the first round, the last pick potentially
top three for sure.
Yeah, potentially you might have two picks in a row at the end of the first and start of the second. Right? I mean, you're going to have basically a lot of early round talent to get. I'm kind of interested in the idea. Again, I'm not saying this is the way yet, but I'm interested in the idea of elevating the talent around Jared Goff and the rest of the team. And you still have two first-round picks the year following. I think what you'll see is the team as a whole with that talent will lift Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff is elevating the talent that he has at wide receiver, to be honest with you. I just think the talent level is so low that that lifting it. I mean, we're scoring 17. We had a game where we scored, what, 20-some points with this crew? This is not people I see catching balls for touchdowns. Right, I don't see how far you can. I mean, how much can you elevate Chris Durham, and then you put Chris Durham as your number one, and everything worse than him after. Right, how much can you elevate that to a win, especially against the teams we've been playing? It's a pretty untenable position. That's why, again, I'm not saying Goff is the guy. I'm just saying there's such a dearth of talent around him that putting all that capital that you have in his salary next year and a first round pick into another quarterback that is, if he's not exactly the guy you want, that's a lot of money to wrap up when you've got gaping wounds and holes elsewhere in your roster. That's just kind of where my head's at right now.
It is. And that's all fair. I can't dispute that. If I see the quarterback that I want, I'm not pausing because the team, quote unquote, isn't ready for the quarterback. If I like it, look at what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. And that quarterback class, by the way, was considered dreadful. Yeah. Look what happened out of that.
Mitch Trubisky went first.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are a little bit.
He went ahead of Deshaun Watson in that draft.
Look at the
class, the Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen class. You know, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. How's that working out for people? You know, it is a crapshoot. And those were quarterbacks that were seen as, I don't know if safer. They were certainly seen as safer than Josh Allen, and not just by me, who was a noted staunch hater on Josh Allen. I mean, look what right now, if I had an MVP vote, and I actually do with the NFLPA or with some organization I'm a member of. I'm in too many organizations.
Definitely not the president.
No. I would probably vote for him right now as the MVP. He's earned it. He's great. Yeah. It also helps that the offense around him has been tailored to what he does well. He has a coach who will let him be Josh Allen, just as Deshaun Watson had a coach that will let him be Deshaun, just as Tom Brady had a coach in Bill Belichick who let him be Tom Brady. And that's important. And one of the things that I see from Danny Campbell is a willingness to allow what he's got to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And my worry is that Anthony Lynn is not that guy, because Anthony Lynn, there was always friction when he had Philip Rivers, love him or hate him, is a damn good quarterback, better than Jared Goff. And he and Anthony Lynn butted heads a lot, not like, you know, violently, publicly, anything like that. They saw things differently, and it worked for a time, but then it was time for one or both to move on. And in fact, both did move on, and the
Rivers Rivers bumps heads with everybody, though, to be honest. I mean, that's
what he is.
Having 43 kids and getting no sleep will really do that to you, your personality.
He is a confrontational personality.
Yep.
Anthony Lynn is not.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I think this is...
And I worry, so to spin it forward here, I worry that Anthony Lynn needs to be more confrontational and adversarial towards Jared Goff, to push Jared Goff to be the best Jared Goff that he can be. And I don't see that happening. And whether that's an Anthony Lynn problem or a Jared Goff problem, that is a problem.
I have a sense that, because there's different ways of doing that, I have a sense that Coach Campbell's doing that. I have a sense that Coach Campbell, not abrasively, but it's kind of like the when you're parenting and you use the I'm angry or you screwed up. I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed in what you did there. That line, right? I think that's what's happened. And I think that's very effective for somebody like Jared Goff, to be honest with you. I think much more than screaming at him, I think McVay was more a scream at you kind of guy, and he got what he got out of Goff. I think Dan Campbell is going to get something different out of Goff just because of that approach. Is Anthony Lynn the guy that's going to do that? I don't know that he is either. I don't either. But I think that that role is being played by Coach Campbell in that respect. So we'll see.
And I would, just from all the responsibilities that are on his plate as a head coach, that's one that I would like to have taken off of his plate.
100%. And, so you're not an Anthony Lynn fan?
I am not. It wouldn't bother me if he wasn't back.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
Would you replace him with Jim Bob Cooter?
And I personally, like, he's a great dude. If you ever get a chance, go watch his press conference where he talked about when he was with the Chargers, about his life-changing experience. It will move you. You will cry, because I know I did. And he's a great guy, but I'm not sure that he's a great offensive coordinator specifically for the type of team that Detroit is.
Right.
And we see that a little bit. Like, there's the whole chicken versus egg. The third down plays, I wrote this for Lions Wire this week. They threw 9 passes on third downs last week. Not one of them went to the sticks or beyond. Every one of them was short.
And most of the routes. The rack, right?
Most of, well, and the thing is, on this one, I do blame Lynn more, because most of those were designed where none of the routes were beyond it. And a couple of them were like, okay, as soon as Goff got the ball, he's throwing it out. He's throwing a little screen. There was a 3rd and 4. He threw it 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage because that was a designed play. That's not a Goff decision. That's an Anthony Lynn decision. And Chargers fans will tell you that they had problems with that as well. So I'm not liking the Anthony Lynn experience as the offensive coordinator thus far. It's 5 games in. He's got time to change it. He's got time to sit back and reflect and, like, maybe I do need to attack. Why are we not using TJ Hockenson? Why does he get one pass on the opening drive and then not get another one for the next 7? Yes, Minnesota's trying to take him away, but at some point you've got to have ways to get your top players involved, even when the defense is trying to take them away, and I don't think Anthony Lynn does a very good job of that.
Yeah. Let me ask you: how would you feel about Jim Bob Cooter 2.0 after seeing what he's doing now?
He's better than that. He is better than that. I will give Anthony Lynn credit for that, because I do think his run designs and his scheming, some of his pass protection schemes, while they're not necessarily working, they look like they're going to be really nice when we get Taylor Decker and Frank Ragnow back in the lineup.
Yeah, there you go. I just wanted to scratch that wound. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for that.
Let's see.
I literally do have some salt here.
Jared missing open receivers. This Matt's asking that in the chat. I want to hit that really quick. I think it's, again, there's two pieces to it. The receiver's not in the right places very, very often.
Or he doesn't respect that they will be.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I think it's a combination. It's not just Goff. Goff gets the quote-unquote credit, but my favorite one is the 4th and 1 that ended the game for the Lions in Chicago, where Amon-Ra did that out, right? You had Cephas over the middle, who was effectively covered. I mean, you weren't going to get him the ball. And before Cephas even turned for the pass, Goff was on his back. Amon-Ra was the first. He looks. Amon-Ra's the first read anyway. Goes back to him. Throws the ball to where Amon-Ra is supposed to be. Amon-Ra
rounded it.
Rounded the route.
He rounded the route.
Jogged out of it. He didn't put the effort in. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not saying he's a low effort guy, right? I'm just saying on that play, he did not play that as he was supposed to. Goff, under extreme pressure, checked the Cephas look. He was down as the ball was leaving his hand. Goff went down. He didn't have time. For him, he had to trust that his receiver was going to be at the right spot, and he wasn't. And Goff took a rash of crap after that game because he missed St. Brown, who was open on that play. And it was all on St. Brown not being there. Could he have adjusted the throw? Yes. But under pressure, it's a lot to ask for the situation. I'm not here as a Goff defender. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's degrees of stink, and there's a lot of it all over the place, and it isn't all on Goff's shoulders. Unfortunately, he's the face. He's the guy that touches the ball every single time. He owns some of it. There's no question. But he has made it to a Super Bowl, so he isn't absolute ass and incapable.
Like, I isn't absolute. He's low on the meter. I'm ready to move on after this year. Well, like, let him play out, and maybe he finds chemistry with Amon-Ra. He's going to have to, or Khalif Raymond, or maybe he gets it together with T.J. Hockenson. You know, maybe that starts to develop more as they play more, as they hopefully get more tight end involvement into the game plan. Now that your best receivers are
how much dead cap is opening up next year, Riz? 60 million, is it? 55 million?
57.8, I want to say.
Are we in cap hell because of Jared Goff?
It would be, well, it's better than Stafford's situation. Let's put it that way.
Are we in cap hell, though?
No.
Are we limited? Is this team limited because of salary cap next year?
A little bit, not a lot. Not. There are other teams who will have many urgent needs, and they will not be able to fill those needs because they're in worse cap shape than the Lions are.
Okay. We'll leave it. And what are they spending? Are they spending similar amounts on quarterbacks?
Probably. Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. That's all. Yeah. That's all I needed.
Or more. I need to make. In Seattle's case.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll move on. The Diamond CBD Injury Report. Pain, anxiety, insomnia. We got you covered. Don't you worry. Go to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. I got a great coupon code for that. You get 55% off with the coupon code LIONS, but we got you on. Hold on, my friends. Where'd it go? I can't find it. I'll find it for you guys later. There's another coupon code that's really great that's out there that'll help you out as well. I can't find it. Sorry. Coupon code LIONS gets you 55% off. There's Delta 8. Oh, wait. It's illegal in my...
It's not Delta 8 anymore.
That's right. Well, it's there. Delta 8's there for those who still love it, and you're in like the 46 states that still have it legal. But a couple states, New York, Michigan, have said, no to Delta 8. We don't know what we're doing. That's okay. There's something called Active
that's
CBD
so
now.
Weird.
I know. There's something called Active CBD now, which is... new, same as Delta 8, but not Delta 8, and legal in all 50 states. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. You can get your high with Active CBD if they're trying to get you out at the out in Lansing or in Albany or wherever you live. They're trying to limit your capabilities to take care of pain, anxiety, or insomnia. You can do that and get a little buzz along the way. Or if you just want to take care of those things and not deal with the buzz and not fail a drug test, then you can just get the regular CBD, CBD oils and creams. This cream, I'll tell you, I use it. My workouts, and I'm a very, very happy man. This stuff is magic. 10 minutes, the pain goes away. It's great. And then when it's time to sleep, I jam down the CBD oil. And this is all, right? I'll pass drug test tomorrow because all this stuff is free and clear of those things that are bad for you. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get yourself taken care of. Take care of your head. Take care of your body. Pain, anxiety, insomnia, all gone away. With cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. There you go. All right.
Hard work fine, hard work good, but first take care of Ed.
Thank you, my friend. Those lyrics are just sublime. All right, moving on. I want to go to something I bet every single person here has forgotten about. Uh-oh. And I'm not going to let you forget about it because I don't let people like the people that said, ride wood, run in football. I don't let them forget about it. I'm not going to let you forget about this. Who remembers... We're going to count down the last 5 seconds of every play clock to help the referees understand, the officials understand, when a delay of game happens. This is our first home game since the Baltimore hose job that we got. I want everybody, and even if you only got a group of people, I want that group so you can help everybody else to get out there and count down the last 5 seconds of the play clock every time the Bengals have the ball. To help, we're just helping the officials. We're just helping them to ensure that they can do their job effectively because they obviously have shown that they're incapable of doing that. And we want them to know that we don't forget. We need it to be an uncomfortable place for the officials to continue to make mistakes. We need this to be an uncomfortable team for the officials to continue to make mistakes against. I want people to count down loud and proud the last 5 seconds of every play clock, of every play when the Bengals have the ball this week. Please, please get as many people as you can around you to do that. Make the point to the NFL that we're sick and tired of it. We didn't get an apology letter. And even if we did, what does it matter?
We didn't, did we?
The NFL does not give a flying F. Well, let's highlight that. There's nothing better than mockery to get what you want out of the people in power. Laugh in the face of power. Count down that play clock, because when it's loud enough and it's happening continuously and they hear it on their broadcast, they're going to have to mention, oh yeah, this is in reference to the failure of the officials and the play clock of the Baltimore game. And then
look up who's doing the game this week.
Here's the magic trick, guys. Here's the magic trick. A couple games in, you know, maybe game 14 the season, we start counting five when the play clock's at four. Because the other team's going to start thinking that, oh, we can just listen to the crowd and know what the play clock is, right? All of a sudden, we start getting delay game calls going our way, and we start at least getting in their head and getting them thinking. If you've ever tried to count, right, and somebody starts saying numbers out there, you get confused pretty quick, right? You start going, wait, what's the number? They're thinking about something else. They're not thinking about the game. Seattle is all proud of the 12th man. Yeah. Let's get in their heads. Let's F with their minds. And let's drive some accountability to the officials. Let's drive some conversation about this, and let's drive some failure from the fans' perspective. And the other thing that I think that will happen is when we do this, this team, the players, the coaching staff, you're going to hear about it in the post-game press conference. You're going to hear about how much the fans mean to the players and how much this means to the players to be able to rely on the fans to have their back like that. I'm telling you, please, when that play clock gets to 5 seconds, count, when the Bengals have the ball, count it down to zero as loud as you can. Make Ford Field rock in just a countdown. And things, the humiliation will have an effect, and things will start to change. Don't take
that
it
would
anymore.
Be nice.
Don't take it.
We're not gonna take it anymore.
Don't take it anymore. You're helpless as a fan. You constantly 10-second runoff, the batted ball, the Calvin Johnson rule.
Chris, I can't do it. I mean,
you could cycle through this. And like Andy said when we were doing the post-game show, he's like, I'm not even sure this is a top 10 screw job, right? I mean, he's like, I'm not even sure this is the worst in the top 10 of them. And it's like, holy crap, he's so right. I mean, I lost it. I was laughing my ass off. Let them know. This is the one thing. Fans need to be able to make this happen and say, we can take control. Can the Fords? Yeah, sure. They take fines, that kind of stuff. But they you know, with those emails that are out there, I have a feeling the NFL has some blackmail material on every team that they might be able to use.
Oh, yeah.
But the fans being able to do this is an opportunity. So please. So there you go. All right.
By the way, those of you who will be watching the game at home, you will want to listen to the Dan Miller and Lois Brown broadcast of the game, because your CBS broadcasters for this game are Chris Myers and Daryl Johnston. Chris Myers, who still hasn't figured out how to say anybody's name. The lack of research that guy does before a game is embarrassing to the NFL and to Fox. There are many other better broadcasters out there, Gus Johnson not being one of them. you can hit me on that later. This is definitely a game where you will want to have your radio on, and you will learn pretty quickly how to adapt. Like the fact that the action on the field is a little bit ahead. Actually, it will be behind where your radio feed is. Like, you're going to hear what's going to happen a couple of counts before it happens. And if you can figure that out, or if you can somehow delay your radio stream, if you're streaming the game, there are ways you can do that. It's worth it. Trust me. I do it. I just love Dan. I love Dan.
I do too. Josh. Dan is absolutely fantastic. I think you should buy Miller's Bar, obviously, because that's for sale now, by the way. But I think, because then he doesn't have to change the name, right? I think Dan is absolutely fantastic. I think everybody does. You saw him, if you saw the draft party, you can see the video of it. We live streamed that. Dan came out to that. He has the last couple years. He interviewed Blandino at the one draft party for us, did our questions, and we got to do a really, really great session there. Dan is absolutely one of the finest human beings. I said it earlier in the show. One of the finest, truly awesome human beings you'll ever meet. He is not diva. He is nothing at all like you expect somebody of his level of kind of achievement to be. He's the most down-to-earth, wonderful individual ever. If you find a way, and as a matter of fact, you know, hit me on Twitter if you find a way to get the radio streaming, because finding out how to link that up and make it go with the TV is, we used to be able to do it, but they killed all the streams that were available for radio. Yeah, so
you can do it on TuneIn Radio. They do have a 7-day trial on their premium that allows you to do that.
Can you do it if you're out of market?
Yes, you can.
Oh, I will check that out.
That's later. Not so Fubo TV does not allow you to do that. You do have to be in market, which is kind of weird.
Right.
It sort of defeats the purpose of it if you pay for basic cable, like I do.
All right. So, really quick, I want to talk just brief. Oh, God. We were going to talk about the Kelly Stafford podcast. It's such a comedy show.
Okay. She has a podcast. I was unaware of this. Enlighten me on what's going on with the wonderful Mrs. Stafford.
Sure. The wonderful Mrs. Chris has just kind of kept in touch and watched what's going on. Said she had a podcast. I'm like, yeah, okay. Call me in a year and a half. See if she's still there, right? Because if you've noticed, they just don't happen. People don't stick to it. They don't. I mean, we're the longest running Lions podcast, period. I mean, there's no one that's run as long as we have in the podcast space. What is it? Because you have to think. Well, I'll get to that. So she just did like her second episode had less than a fifth of the listeners of her first episode, right? It was interesting. She's going to do it. Let's check out. And then it's like, oh, that's what it is. Okay, never mind. And wow. Then it was like a couple episodes in. She found out, and on the air, she says it. She was talking into the wrong side of the microphone, right?
Shut up!
Her audio was crap. It was terrible. I was like, oh man, this is just like I just heard a little bit, and I was like, this is bad.
How many times has she been interviewed?
Yeah. So now she's gotten the point.
It's not hard to figure out where to talk here.
Now she's at the point where she's not doing the production; she's paying for that. She's got somebody else doing the editing, right? She was talking about, oh, it's so long to edit the program, like all that. It's like, okay, yeah, she can afford it. And now she's on there complaining about, you know, the first world. She's got like first world problem. I'm not waiting in line at Disneyland. Right? It's like, oh man, this is not going to play.
Dear God,
this is not going to play. Right. Oh, but I teach my kids that it's the, you know, this is daddy's money. It's like, oh no. Oh, don't do that. Oh God. So she's paying for it. And now the next thing is, and this is going to be the great part. She's got it all handled. Right. So now she thinks, you got to have something to talk about, right? That's the magic. Coming up with something to talk about every week. It's just not going to happen. This is like, and you look at that and she tells stories and you think about Matthew, man, you're a great guy. Number one, just to be everything you do for the city, the kind of personality you are. But wow, what you deal with, you're a hero. You're a hero. You really, really, truly love that woman. And I feel absolutely amazing for you that you're that kind of guy that loves your wife that much, because there's not many people that would go there. It's all, man, it's like, wow, it is absolutely
I'm morbidly curious to check it out.
It's the privilege podcast. It absolutely is. It's crazy.
Wow. So that's
keep an eye out. It's good stuff. You'll enjoy Kelly Stafford's podcast, I'm certain.
We need to get our guy Mac to be her producer.
Oh my God, the outtakes from that would be.
We love you, Mac.
Yeah, no, and I don't mind Kelly, right? I don't mind. It's just like you gotta watch. You just, I mean, she's in a position where she's not got a lot to say that's going to be, especially social commentary, that's going to be well received. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like you really just got to be careful. Just come on, and it's there's a gap there. So good luck to her. Yeah. Best of luck to her. Yeah. Right? She may actually find that spot that works for her. And that's the thing, like I say with all the other Lions ones, there's room for all the podcasts to do stuff. People,
absolutely,
there's a lot of
absolutely
hours a day, right? But yep. You know, I hope she finds her niche, and hope she finds what works for her. But right now, I don't know that's the way I'd be going. You know,
there's a lot of really good Lions podcasts out there. There's a lot of really good social commentary podcasts out there. They don't often intersect. And Kelly, let's just be thankful that, excuse me,
it started
the lime is coming back. She's not in our sphere anymore.
Yeah,
thankfully. Yeah. The lime is really coming back too.
All right, last chance, and I'm relying on you for this one, Riz. I haven't gotten a lot of time to watch their games. As I said, it's been a crazy season. Look ahead to the Bengals. I know they have an offensive line that is just offensive to us. We've got a defensive line who hasn't been bad. I mean, some guys that have.
We saw Onsarike make a play last week. That was nice.
Trey Flowers got a sack.
Flowers played very well last week.
Yeah. So I feel like that's going to be a good matchup. But But otherwise, I need to do some research before I meet with Tony on Friday and we do the pregame. What do you got for us?
So they run three wide receivers as their base offense, which Detroit does as well, by the way, which is another reason why I'm not too keen on Mr. Lynn. When you have no wide receivers and you play three of them all the time and you have two good running backs and you play one of them all the time, that, okay. Anyways, they're really good throwing the football. Joe Burrow is very good. He's not perfect. He will make a couple of mistakes, but he's really good. Jamar Chase, who they took at number five, is the offensive rookie of the year. You can give him the damn trophy now. He's great. He leads the NFL in touchdowns, or at least he did going into last week, and he got another one. Ooh. So he's a big play dynamo threat. And oh, by the way, he was rotten in the preseason. That tells you how much you need to care about preseason games. He couldn't play a lick in the preseason, and now he's a borderline all pro wide receiver as a rookie.
He had some social media kind of issues going on in the preseason too, didn't he?
He did. He took some bait. Okay. Long and the short of it, and he had a little situation that happens. It happens to everybody. Yeah, it happens to John Gruden really bad.
We'll save that for the 24-hour show. We'll save that for the 24-hour show.
Yeah. So the other thing about the Cincinnati that stands out, their defense goes side to side really well. They have good off-ball linebackers. They do have a pass rush. They're able to generate some heat around the sides. They're good at it. They're consistent at it. Their defensive line is not what it used to be, like interior. Geno Atkins, not, you know, they're not as strong there. They're really good at safety. And I think one of the things that you're going to see in this game is that their safeties are what we want our safeties to be. And that's something to focus on. They're really good. They do not get fooled easily, and they tackle well. And they're very quick to close on the ball. They're not a great defense. They're probably, I'm not looking at their thing, but I'm going to guess that they're probably on the average side of the league average. In total defense, they can play though. They're going to make a couple mistakes, but they are going to be a challenge. This, just X's and O's wise, this is the worst matchup that the Lions have had this year in terms of what Cincinnati does really well, which is throwing the football, running Joe Mixon on little delayed handoffs and draw plays like that that get the defensive line sucked up. One of the things, Zach Taylor is not a popular coach in Cincinnati. One of the things that he's really good at is understanding how to help his offensive line, which isn't good. They're better than they have been, but they're still not good. He's very good at giving them ways to succeed where we haven't seen that necessarily out of Detroit yet. They counter that really well. They're deep. They're not deep at running back, but they are deep everywhere else. Look, when you went into the season, most people penciled this in as a game that the Lions should win. I will tell you, this is the easiest game on the schedule so far as it's played out for me to pick them to lose.
Oh, wow.
Just because where Detroit isn't good on offense is where Cincinnati will kill you on defense, and right. Vice versa.
Right.
Where they're really good on offense is where Detroit is really bad on defense. It's just a terrible X's and O's matchup, and I cannot believe that they're only favored by 3.5. If you have a favorite sports book app and it gives you discount codes, you might want to invest some against the Lions this week. Although the Lions are 3-2 against the spread, and the Bengals, I think, are 1-3-1. I'll have to check on that.
And you got the Bengals at -180 on the money line. He has to stay away from the money line.
Always.
Yeah, one. Always. Oh, not always.
I always do.
155 plus points for the Lions. God, okay. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
I'll admit I am a Joe Burrow fan. I love the guy. Same. He's great. He's really easy to like. He got that hit last week. So remember, they lost to Green Bay last week because there were 5 missed field goals from the middle of the fourth quarter through the end of overtime. And the Cincinnati kicker thought he made his last one. And honestly, I did too when he kicked it. He's not a bad kicker. Obviously, last week aside, he does have a big leg. So I hope that doesn't Barkley come to that.
So the Saquon Barkley, too bad his ankles aren't thick.
Oh my God, the Giants... By the way, Kenny Golladay hurt again, hyperextended knee again.
Knew it was going to happen. Knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Like if you feel bad about how to provide fair and balanced perspective here, the Giants' injuries are worse than what the Lions are.
Terrible for Daniel Jones when he got up. Look,
God.
You guys know I watch MMA on the weekends. I watch the fights every week. They don't let a guy stand up after being knocked out. He's on a stool. They get him in much better shape. Danny Dimes trying to walk off the field. Just
you saw Curse, the former Lions safety now playing for Dallas, like run up to try and catch him because he looked like he was going to fall over. He looked like a guy who had either been shot in the back or was just completely drunk and couldn't find his way to the restroom.
Yeah, that was horrifying to see. Just how
it was rough, man.
Bad shape he was in. You go back to Tyrell Williams, as we talked about earlier, it's that kind of thing. Like, it's like, oh, God, I hope he's okay. We did miss one injury, and I want to get to it really quick after I tell people again about St. Jude. Go to stjude.org/DLP. Donate, get your tax-deductible donation in. Also, when you're doing your shopping, you got Christmas gift, or you got your Halloween costumes, you have your candy. Don't forget about all the candy, your decorations getting ready. Go to Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Go there, get all your stuff. It takes money out of Spaceman Bezos' hands, and it puts it in ours. It doesn't cost you anything else. They just give us a kickback because they say, you know, Jeff and Chris are the coolest guys we know. It's the best podcast out there. We love the Detroit Lions here at Amazon.
Yeah,
so much we wanted to buy them. So we're going to give them guys a cut of the profits and not keep as much for our greedy selves. Great way to support the podcast by doing something you were going to do anyway. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. All right, there's one guy we missed on the injury report, Riz, and we kind of blew through the injury report. Frankus Ragnowis. Ragnarok.
Out for the year. Turf toe surgery.
It was turf toe, though. They said it was. They didn't say it was turf toe. If you look at the wording, it was something like turf toe. There's got to be like a tendon or something else going on there. That
basically. So they shut him down for the year. And Dan Campbell made that clear that it was not an easy decision, and that it was the organization convincing Frank to get the surgery so he doesn't have lasting impact into next year, because it was a thing where if he tried to come back and didn't have the surgery, it could get aggravated, it could get exacerbated, and would be something that he would have to deal with for the rest of his career. And I know people, dog, it's a toe, come on, like Taylor Decker, it's a finger, come on. By the way, Taylor Decker, back at practice on Wednesday, he was designated to return. They have 21 days from today to either bring him back to the active roster or he's gone for the season. They also did it with Kevin Strong today. There's your injury update. Don't expect either of them this week. Expect Taylor Decker in week 7, though, from everything that I've heard.
Yeah.
And Kevin Strong could actually be back this week if they need him. They might not need him, given all their defensive line depth. Ragnow will be back next year. It was tough on him. He posted a nice little thank you on his Instagram page. Go check that out. Thanking the fans and describing how hard it was for him to go through this. Evan Brown has not been bad at center. He's not Frank Ragnow, but he's somebody brought this up on Twitter, and I wish that I remembered who it was. It was like, we found ourselves a backup interior lineman here. And I'm like, yeah, we probably did. And good for him. So
Riz, I got to say, let me just hit the Riz's wrong horn here. You talked about how terrible we were at depth on the offensive line ahead of the season. And again, these guys have stepped up far beyond expectations.
Evan Brown has played. So I did see him playing. I covered him in Cleveland. Actually interviewed him in Cleveland. He wasn't good there. He's better here. So good for him. that happens. Maybe he just wasn't a good fit for Baker Mayfield. I will say this. The veteran line that they had in Cleveland was probably not the best situation for the guy like him to break into. I think he's more comfortable being around more younger guys.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that the Browns offensive line deserves criticism or that they're bad dudes or anything. They're just in a different place. And I don't think that they were in the right place where Evan Brown needed to thrive. And he's doing well. Look, again, is he Frank Ragnow? No, he's not. But he's not. We've had worse centers in Detroit recently than him. So I'm okay with that. Every rose has its thorn.
and every dusk has its dawn.
Every cowboy sings a sad, sad song. Except the Cowboys this year, they're good somehow. And that pisses me off. I don't hate Dallas, but it bothers. My life is better when the Dallas Cowboys aren't good at football. That's just, I don't know why. I truly don't hate Dallas. I've been to their stadium. I love it. I have a lot of friends that are Cowboys fans. It's just, it seems like their buttons are so easy to push, Chris.
Yes. And there's a certain arrogance. It's a little bit of Texas. It's a little bit of the Cowboys thing. That, look, Hockey Town, it's hard to hold on to right now with how long the Wings have been bad. But when it was dubbed Hockey Town, there's no argument about Hockey Town was Detroit. 110%. Yep. There's no argument about that. America's team, I've got a bone to pick with that idea, right? The Dallas Cowboys are not America's team. Even back with Michael Irvin, I don't know. Are we all on crack? I don't know. Right? It's not.
So let's go back to when we were kids. It was the Steelers or the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And living in the Midwest, we probably gravitated more towards the Steelers as youths before we had a real rooting interest in Detroit or wherever. Yeah. And I will say, just based on my experience, there are probably more Steelers fans around the country than there are Cowboys fans.
I'd say there's more Packers fans, actually. And
it's not a bad call either.
Yeah. No, when I was in California, which had no team at the time for a decade that I was there, it had no team. It was the Cowboys definitely had representatives, but they were,
absolutely.
They were their own brand, but it was absolutely Raiders, no matter where they lived at the time. It was Packers, and it was Bears, and Seahawks at the time. But the Seahawks were kind of a pop in the, they were really successful at the time, so you saw that. But those were the biggest teams that I saw out there representatively, and I don't see the Cowboys as America's team. I just don't see that, and it bothers me. But again, I'll go back to the Hockey Town thing.
Living in West Michigan where I do, I see a lot of opposing jerseys. I rarely ever see Cowboys stuff. I do see Steelers stuff quite a bit. Yeah. I see some Bengals stuff, believe it or not. Yeah. We're not that far from Indianapolis. I can be at the stadium in Indianapolis about the same time as I can be at the stadium in Detroit, given traffic, because it's real easy.
Here, it's all your plastered with Bucks stuff, and then there's a lot of New York stuff, a lot of Giants stuff, but particularly very
well. Well, you have a lot but the New thing York about expats down there.
The thing about those people is they tell you from New York before you can even read the shirt. So,
there you go. Yeah.
Yep. From New York. Marvin is one of them. All right. With that, thank you, Riz, for that look at the Bengals. I appreciate it. Don't forget, you can do YouTube.
I'm very pessimistic about this game. You can read my full forecast at Real GM tomorrow, the football meteorology, where I did not have a good week last week. The forecast sucked. Ooh. I'll do better this week.
Well, you did do your meteorology degree at OU.
Ohio University.
And
OU,
joining us is going to be Cam and Brett Kuz. Kuz and O, Cam, former cancer patient. OU meteorology major right now. Have you seen the video?
I have not.
I'll share it with you.
Please do. Yeah, that would be awesome.
I've got the link. It's great. It's great to see. Cam is a real inspiring story. Him last time. My wife, she watching the show, helping do things as we were doing the 24-hour broadcast. She saw that, teared up, immediately made another. I'm like, "Hunt, we're putting a lot of money in. We've already donated." She made a donation just because of Cam's story, how good it was. I'll get you that
please do video. That's
really
awesome.
Yeah. All right, remember, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast, patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. You'll get access to the Slack. What's that? The most intelligent Lions chat on the internet, bar none. You get all the insider information. There's all kinds of really cool stuff going on there right now. Cool people who have a great way of disagreeing and not being disagreeable. It's an awesome place to hang out. Some of the best people just raised, and thank you very much, Big Bad Fab, for Little Bad Fab, a brand new baby. Just raised almost $1,000 for him from the guys in the Slack and gals in the Slack to just reward them for having another baby to help them support the kids. So congrats, Fab. Great community. As little as $1 a month on Patreon gets you access to that. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions podcast, DET Lions podcast, and at Jeff Risden, just as you see spelled there. Jeff Risden on Twitter, two of the best follows you'll ever set up on your Twitter, and I guarantee it, because we're always pants free. Give us a call on Skype Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or in the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can do what, Riz?
We can come into your ears automatically.
Goobity goo. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems. Because we're Detroit Lions and Reddit Connection. Meow.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.